to the Puck Guys Podcast, the best place for top hockey news and insight with, of course, a little West Coast bias. Now, here are your hosts, Patrick Mahoney and Jason Lamb.
Hey, everybody. It's the Puck Guys Podcast. It's time for hockey. It's September 3rd, baby. I'm excited for hockey to start. It's Patrick, Eddie, and Jason. How are you guys doing?
I just got demoted to third.
You did this time.
Oh, yeah.
I've been promoted.
Canadian got the kick up, man. He got the upsell.
No, I get the sympathy number two.
Hey, there you go. So we're back. We're doing something special this summer just because we figured we got to do something different. Jason and I over the years have always brought you guys our shitty predictions every summer, but now that we had Eddie, we were just like, hey, it'd be kind of cool to change it up, so let's do 31 and 30. So if you've already seen it on Twitter, or if maybe you haven't and you're just listening to the show, we're going to cover each team in its own little separate podcast, probably 10, 15, 20 minutes, give our takes, predict where they're going, tell you how bad they're going to do, because clearly every team that we're going to talk about in this section is going to be terrible.
They're going to be so good.
Maybe.
Defend the Stanley Cups.
I mean, definitely the Islanders are going to be really good this year.
I think the Rangers will take them, though.
Oh, yeah. So, kudos to Eddie, though, for setting up that graphic, stealing ESPN style, and crushing it for us, because I like that.
That's how
good.
I get my graphics done. I steal it from other people.
Hey, man, that's the best way to make everything happen, right? Take a great idea and make it your great idea.
That's why we brought you aboard.
Yeah. All right, so we're starting in the Metropolitan Division. We decided to start in order of how they finished. The Washington Capitals, Stanley Cup champions. Alex Ovechkin still drunk before training camp today as we are starting the show. Boys, they finished 49-26 and 705 points, first in the Metro, and like I just said, Stanley Cup champs. A couple of big subtractions from the team. Really only notable addition in my eyes would be Nick Dowd, but they lose Jay Beagle, which is meh. Alex Chiasson, nah. Jacob Jerebek, and then I don't really know who he was as a defenseman, but the two people that kind of stand out, if you're a Caps fan or you know the Caps, is Philip Grubauer and Coach Barry Trotz. What are your guys' initial thoughts of kind of, we'll start with you, Eddie. How do you feel about the addition and subtractions on this team?
I mean, it wasn't as big as it could have been, right? They could have lost John Carlson, but they ended up re-signing him. The only other guy I guess they could have lost was Brooks Orpik, but they kind of lost him and then brought him back. So it wasn't huge. I mean, Holtby's still probably going to play 50 to 60 games. So I guess you can plug, I think, what Phoenix Copley is in there right now, or Ilya Samsonov. So it's not a huge loss. But yeah, I think the coaching change is going to be massive. I mean, now you've got another guy. Yeah, he was under Barry Trotz and he's been around the organization, so he's kind of got an idea of the players in his system. But you'd assume he has his own system, and that's going to take some getting used to. And then also, if the Stanley Cup hangover comes into effect, I think that's going to be a big issue for them going into the season.
Yeah, that was kind of one of the thoughts I had, because how hard they're partying. I mean, I would love to be in their shoes doing that stuff. But that's kind of the question mark. Are they going to kind of recover from the hangover that tends to happen to a lot of teams, especially if it's the first time a team's ever won a Stanley Cup? And then I'm not as concerned with the new coach, just because he was an assistant for a while and all the players seem to be all about him. So he might do little things, but he's moving into a situation where he's got an abundance of talent and now a team that also has some confidence. My major concern I would have is more or less there is, with Phoenix Copley probably being the backup, there's no more safety net behind Holtbeast. Holtbeast was really kind of iffy during the season, didn't even start in the playoffs, you know, and then had a terrific run once he did come back in. But I mean, he lost it to Grubauer at that point. And it's kind of tough to see, you know, someone who's not really ever played come in and try and be a backup. So they lose a little bit of that safety net in there. The only good thing that I did research on with the backup is that he was actually born at the North Pole. Did you know that?
Santa Claus?
Yeah, North Pole.
He was using
a
leg up.
North Pole, Alaska. That's where he was born. I saw that and I was like, all right, I like this guy already. His name's Phoenix, born in the North Pole.
I get where you guys are coming from with the Barry Trotz not being there, but I mean, the roster turnover to me is very minimal. Grubauer, sure, it was the safety net, but I mean, Holtbeast is Holtbeast, and he turned it on when he needed to in the playoffs. It took a couple of games for him to be like, okay, I need to get my shit together. And Todd Reirden, I mean, he's been under Barry Trotz. He's well-liked also. I'm assuming the players are very happy about him being there. That would have been voiced, and they would have looked for somebody else, I would figure. But I guess the shock is over with. I mean, when your head coach wins the Stanley Cup, goes 11 days out and is like, yeah, peace, you're offering me like ruples compared to what everyone else was to pay me. I don't blame him for leaving. And I guess the best thing they could have done was, yeah, they kind of still needed Brooks Orpik for some reason, I guess. So they got rid of his contract and it was like, cool, now we got your top four. Now you're Kevin Bieksa'd and you're going to be our fifth, sixth defenseman. So not really concerned about him being on the back end. I feel like this team is strange at times. I was looking over their stats and they've given up more goals over the past couple of seasons than they have in years past. I mean, they went from 177 goals allowed in 2016-2017 to 238. So letting in more goals, but they're still winning, and Ovi's still Ovi. I'm not concerned about this team whatsoever. I still see them at the top of the division.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting, too, that they were last in shots for per game in the entire league. I mean, you'd think someone that shoots as much as Ovechkin, that team should have been anywhere else besides the cellar on that one. So at least they can't get any worse than that this next year. I mean, they got a lot of great things. Obviously, they won the cup, and this team is largely intact. They have a very solid top two lines when Kuzi's your number one center, and then Backstrom, and then you got Eller. I mean, that's a solid center line. And a game breaker like Ovi can, you know, change a game at any point just with his effort. Oshie's been a nice addition. That power play is just was on fire in the playoffs. So their goalie's still good. They have a very solid top four and a very solid top two line. So I can't imagine them regressing all that much. I think Pittsburgh's probably going to be a little bit more rested. So I actually have Washington coming in second in the Metro. But 100 points probably.
I don't think nothing's really changed, right? Like, they're still pretty much the exact same team other than the coaching change. And like we said with Philip Grubauer going out the door, they're exactly the same. You know, the top line's going to be the same. Second line's presumably going to be the same. You're still going to have Eller with either DSP, Connolly, Burakovsky, some formation of that on the third line. So the depth is still there. And the blue line is exactly the same. You've still got John Carlson, Orlov, Niskanen. You've got all these guys. You've got some young guys coming up. So there's no reason that this team can't win the division. I have them coming in second. I'm not going to say who's first yet. We'll get to that in a bit. But I still think they're good enough to challenge for the division. I mean, why would they not be the Stanley Cup champions?
Plus, they did a real good job in re-signing Wilson, so that's obviously good.
I was just going to bring that up. Like, we got to spend a little time here on their lineup because it's confusing to me why they paid that guy that massive contract. I mean, if you look at his numbers, it wasn't like they were off the charts blowing you away and like, wow, this guy's like the second coming of Milan Lucic. You look at this dude, he pummels people, he makes big hits, he fights, and then you look at his stats, he's got 80 points. No, you look at this guy, and you're pretty much just like, oh, he basically puts up 30 points a season, maybe 35 points a season, blocks some shots. Do you see that regressing, and then maybe this contract hurting them right now? I mean, I feel like if you're the Caps, you should be looking to add a little bit of some depth, and I'm not so sure that Tom Wilson's going to, you know, carry the load on the wing with Ovi this season after season for, I mean, 6 years.
Yeah,
that's a little rough. I mean, like we kind of touched on when we had discussed this earlier about Wilson getting that contract, it was kind of like, I have a feeling everyone was on such a high from the Stanley Cup, and Ovechkin kind of pulled his weight around and said, get this guy, he's on my line, it works. You know,
he's
whatever.
All drunk sitting there in the fountain.
Get it done.
Calling
this guy over here.
Calling the front office, hey, man.
Yeah, whatever he wants.
Got to be something you can do for my boy Wilson, eh? That was my Canadian-Russian accent you didn't catch.
It was horrible.
But, I mean, the Tom Wilson thing, I don't know if it's really going to kill him. I just don't think it's just something that anyone should be proud about if you're walking around as a Washington fan that this your boy got signed to carry the load at 35 points a year.
Even if he doesn't regress, it's still bad. It's already bad. Right away, he can still put up 35 points, do exactly the same thing he did, and it's still a bad contract.
Exactly. Unless all of a sudden he's going to go over the top and benefit a whole lot from playing with Ovi, like picking up garbage assists or garbage goals on rebounds, things like that. That's the only way I can see his point total really kind of improving much. And even then, you know, you put Pat Maroon there. I mean, you could put just any big guy who's kind of around.
Put your stick on the ice.
Yeah.
And it's bound to get hit by a puck.
Yeah, Pat could do this.
How do you guys feel about Alexander Ovechkin? I mean, every year,
so pretty.
It always happens. Yeah, he's definitely the prettiest boy. He's a beauty. I don't know about
model magazines.
Right.
Yeah.
when is this guy going to regress? We've been wrong on this show before about I remember that, and I was part of that. Yeah. I was like, yeah, maybe it's about time, because it's common for goal scorers to all of a sudden drop, yeah, like big time. They just drop. He did that one season, and then it comes back last year, crushes it. Comes back this season, it crushes it again, one goal away from 50. Now that he has a Stanley Cup, he's really only missing the gold medal that he's been searching for the Olympics, which is not coming anytime soon.
Yeah.
Do you guys feel like he kind of has a Stanley Cup hangover? And I'm not talking literally, but is this really going to be something for the Capitals they have to worry about? I mean, is this going to be a drop-off year for Ovechkin?
It has to be. If it's going to be any year, you would think it would be the year after he wins the Stanley Cup. He's probably been partying for half the summer. I'm sure he's training. I mean, he's an excellent pro, so you would assume he'd be ready coming into camp. But I don't want to say what left does he have to prove, but, like, let's be honest. If there's any year he's going to regress, I would think it has to be this one. He'll still probably put up 30 goals and still probably be a 60-point guy. But if he's going to hit 40, 50 this year, I wouldn't be surprised if he was a little bit under that.
I mean, his shot rate's absurd. He's got 355 shots last season, and it's anyone else on that line didn't even crack 200.
Yeah. The other thing, too, is if you look at their top five point getters, a majority of them, all of them are over 35% of those come on the power play. So, I mean, this is those top five are pretty much their power play, and that's, you know, Kuzi, Backstrom, Ovi, Oshie, and Carlson up there. But they're all, you know, 36% or higher. Even Carlson, 47% of his points have come on the power play. So I think he'll make a living right there and do a good job. They didn't really, you know, lead the league. They were seventh on the power play, but that power play was really clicking in the playoffs, and I think they kind of set up a way with Oshie kind of as a roamer that now everyone's just a threat at that point. Anyone can pass, anyone can score, so I don't see as much of a regression from last season. He almost hit 50 goals, so that's going to be tough for him, but, you know, slight regression, but I still see him 40 plus goals, challenging probably for the Maurice Rocket Richard trophy.
You got a power play a lot like Pittsburgh, isn't it? You can just throw out your stars and it's going to happen eventually. I mean, if you go 1-for-3 on the power play every night, that's a damn good power play. Yeah, I mean, that's something you should be proud of as a team. And that's how Pittsburgh kind of lived and died, right? I mean, they were on the power play and they had to make it happen, and they did. And that's how they were able to cover up their depth issues. I'm just wondering if there's enough scoring behind Ovechkin. I mean, hypothetically, let's say he drops to 30 goals. So you're knocking out 19 goals this season. His shot rate's going to be down. How does that affect other players on his team, too? So I wonder. I mean, I know this team kind of lives and dies by him.
Their assists will go down.
Right. Yeah, no more assists. Backstrom's assists plummet. Yep. Another player to kind of look at, too, is John Carlson. He got paid over the summer, got a big contract on for his defensive prowess. 15 goals, 53 assists last year. He crushed it with 68 points. Also, a lot of guys got paid. They went and got the cup. The Holy Grail hockey coming into next season. After all this negative stuff that I'm saying right now, I still have them finishing first in the Metro, which is insane. But, like, there's no roster turnover. So, to me, unless this team's physically drunk coming into preseason and regular season, I think they're fine. I don't think there's nothing to worry about in DC. But you guys, final word?
Yeah, I think some guys are due for a little bit of regression. I don't think Carlson's going to have as good of a season. I think Holtby might struggle to play 50, 60 games again after how deep they went, of course, you know, going all the way to the Stanley Cup Finals and winning. We've seen it in the past where goalies have struggled coming into the next season when it gets laid in. I mean, you know, the Oilers didn't win, but when Ben Bishop came in, or not Ben Bishop, sorry, Cam Talbot came in the next season, he couldn't get it done. I mean, he was excellent, and he played so many games for the Oilers, and they lost to the Ducks, of course, and then next season he was horrible. He just couldn't do it. He couldn't play a full load. So I could see that being an issue for them, and just maybe some guys regressing. If Ovi goes down to 30 goals, if Carlson drops, you know, 15, 20 points, if guys like Vrana and Oshie and Tom Wilson can't pick up the slack, then I see them losing a couple points here and there, maybe dipping below 100.
You still have him first in the division, or you got him?
Second.
Second.
Yeah, I got him second.
Where you got him, Jay?
Yeah, I got him second. They've won the division 3 straight years. I think they lose that, but they have done 4 straight seasons with 100-plus points. So I figure they still get to that plateau. That seems to be kind of your cutoff point to even make the playoffs. So I feel they still get over 100. But, yeah, I think there'll be struggles within this season. We'll see how bad they are. But within that division, I think they're pretty safe to battle it out with Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I feel like Barry Trotz. I will always stand by the fact that management is always less of a factor than people give it credit for. Not saying that management isn't important. It definitely isn't. Coaching is definitely important. As long as you don't want to hate the guy you play for, that kind of helps to come to the rink every day. But I feel like Todd Rundgren is going to be fine. His team's going to be fine. Ovi and the Caps, number one in the Metro.
They got so many problems to have to think about.
Well, that is it for our Caps recap. That's our prediction for the season. We'll be back with another episode tomorrow. Thank you guys for tuning in. You know where to find us, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, The Puck Guys. And we'll talk to you guys tomorrow.
Bye, guys.